This is 97.9 FM, WCHL, Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station. WCHL's Morning News with Ron Stutz begins now.
Good morning. It is 7:07, 7 minutes after 7 o'clock at WCHL. It is 70 degrees in Chapel Hill right now. Look for mostly cloudy skies all day. Showers and thunderstorms mainly in the afternoon. Our high today in the low 80s. But the chance of rain is 80%, and that will continue all the way through tonight as well. And then even tomorrow, it's going to be mostly cloudy with a 50-50 chance of showers and or thunderstorms. So kind of a cloudy forecast for the next few days here in WCHL. We're going to get to Moral Monday in just a moment. There were a lot of people there yesterday, including Chapel Hill Carborough residents. We'll talk about that. But first of all, the Chapel Hill Town Council voted last night to put the town's cell phone driving ban on hold until the fall, despite a decision from the North Carolina Court of Appeals that would have allowed it to go into effect next week. WCHL's Elizabeth Friend has details.
The Chapel Hill Town Council voted 7-1 last night to delay implementation of the town's ban on cell phone use while driving until October 1st. Mayor Mark Kleinschmidt said there's still a slim chance the state Supreme Court could agree to hear the case.
I personally believe it's unwise to tinker with this until we get some finality. I'm also concerned about going ahead and expending resources on education campaign and other kinds of things that say that there is a cell phone ban while driving in effect when it still might be in jeopardy.
When the council approved the ban back in March of 2012, it was the first in the nation to prohibit the use of both handheld and hands-free devices behind the wheel. However, a lawsuit challenging both the cell phone driving ban and the town's towing regulations led to an injunction from the Orange County Superior Court that prevented the ban from being enacted last year. That injunction was dissolved by the State Court of Appeals earlier this month, making it possible for the town to start enforcing the ban next week. Instead, council members agreed they want more time to wrap up the legal proceedings and work on an educational campaign for drivers. Councilmember Matt Chakowski cast the lone vote against the delay. He argued the ban is not likely to be enforced and said he'd rather see the town focus on enforcing the statewide ban on texting while driving instead.
We would be much better off if we as a town said we're going to enforce the anti-texting law. But we're not going to do that. We're going to educate people on the danger of using cell phones in cars, with the likelihood of anybody ever being cited somewhere between slim and non-existent.
Once Chapel Hill's ban is in place, the use of a cell phone while driving inside town limits would be a secondary offense, meaning police could only charge drivers who'd been stopped for other violations. Drivers found to be using a phone behind the wheel would be subject to a $25 fine. Kurt Ribisill is a professor at UNC's Gilling School of Global Public Health. He told the council the ban could set a precedent for other communities to follow.
I think it's fantastic. I think we're setting the norm. I think you're going to see communities across the country passing similar policies like this in the coming years, and I'm glad we're at the forefront. Thank you for your leadership.
The cell phone driving ban is slated to go into effect on October 1st, but the council will have another chance to review the ordinance before that happens this fall. The towing regulations, which limit how much tow operators can charge and require increased signage on private lots, will go into effect next Monday. Elizabeth Friend, 97.9 FM, WCHL.
Now let's talk about our continuing story, Moral Mondays. The crowd was very large yesterday. 84 people were arrested at the 7th Moral Monday protest in Raleigh, including 4 members of the United Church of Chapel Hill. Police estimated that close to 1,000 gathered for the rally outside, targeting policies of the Republican-controlled legislature. WCHL's Rachel Nash was there and has more on the story.
That's the sound of hundreds of protesters inside the General Assembly. The activists who planned to be arrested walked in a circle outside the chamber doors, chanting and singing. 19-year-old Kira Fresklin was one of them.
I think it's time that we, you know, stand up. You can't just talk the talk. You gotta walk the walk.
Fresklin and her pastor at the United Church of Chapel Hill, Jill Edens, along with fellow congregation members, Reverend Susan Steinberg and Dave Otto, all were arrested Monday night, rallying against Republican policies ranging from social spending to education and voting rights. 17 were arrested in the first Moral Monday protest in late April. Now the arrest total is nearing 500. The number of supporters has grown as well, with attendees traveling from places like Charlotte, Wilmington, and Black Mountain. Here's Pastor Edens.
And we're in this for the long haul. I mean, we understand we could be doing this till November of 2014.
The United Church of Chapel Hill has sent about 25 people each week, and about 10 members have been arrested. But before the arrestees, who wore green armbands, arrived at the General Assembly, the NAACP debriefed them on what to expect, how to march in, and passed out sign-up sheets. Here's Steinberg.
Honored to have this opportunity and thankful that it's so well organized that I feel very safe going into it.
Steinberg is the associate pastor for Children's Ministries in the United Church of Chapel Hill. She said the last straw for her was the proposed legislation that would allow guns to be carried in public places like playgrounds. NAACP protest organizers also provided snacks and transportation to the General Assembly for the soon-to-be arrestees. Here's NAACP State Chapter President and Civil Disobedience Movement leader, Reverend William Barber.
So let it be clear and let it be known. They may not change, but neither will we. As long as we got breath in our body, as long as we got marching in our feet, we will stand, we will fight, we will speak, we will stand, we will fight forward together.
Speakers from state advocacy groups also spoke about environmental and health care issues, which were spotlighted topics of the day. Here's Dave Otto.
I'm here to stand up for what I think is important. I'm sick and tired of reading every day in the paper what the legislature is doing. I haven't seen a single thing that they propose that I agree with.
Before the supporters and arrestees marched into the General Assembly together, they gathered outside for a rally which included music and speeches. Paper Hand Puppet Intervention's Jan Berger was there. He carried his larger-than-life puppet representing Mother Earth to take a stand for the environment.
I try and have my work and what I believe in intermesh, not be different. So if I can use my art, the stuff that I make, the puppets and the images that we create, to make a difference in the world, feels great.
Carborough Alderman Sammy Slade and Damon Siles, who were arrested during previous protests, were in attendance, as well as Senator Ellie Kinnaird, who represents Orange and Chatham counties. Barber also issued a call for larger crowds to attend the next two protests, dubbing the Mass Moral Mondays. Rachel Nash, 97.9 FM, WCHL.
Thanks for that report, and more on Moral Mondays and the implications coming up in just a moment here. But we wanted to tell you that North Carolina's 68th governor and the first Republican governor of the 20th century, Jim Holzhauser, has died at the age of 78 after a long illness. James Hubert Holzhauser was a native of Boone before he graduated from Davidson College. He then received his law degree from Carolina and later returned to Watauga County, where he practiced law with his father. WCHL's legal and political analyst Hampton Dellinger says Governor Holzhauser's election was important for aspiring Republicans in our state.
He was a model in a couple of different but pivotal ways. First, for Republicans to show that they could run and win statewide in North Carolina, something they had not been able to do successfully for so often throughout the 20th century.
While in office, Holzhauser created the UNC Board of Governors, which oversees the 17-campus University of North Carolina system. He also expanded public school kindergarten statewide as a proponent of education.
So it's a different legacy, I think, legislatively, probably not as deep as Governor Martin, and we'll see what the case is with Pat McCrory. But Pat McCrory is not faced with working across party lines in the way that Jim Holzhauser was.
Holzhauser was elected in 1972 and served from 1973 to 77. He was the youngest governor since the 1800s. In a statement from UNC President Tom Ross, he says, quoting here, "On any issue of long-term importance to the university or higher education in this state, his counsel was sought out and highly valued. He was seen as the elder statesman of the Board of Governors, one with a gift for simply but eloquently getting to the heart of a complicated issue, bringing together diverse points of view, and guiding his colleagues to consensus or resolution." That's a quote. To read the full statement and to hear the interview with Hampton Dellinger, you can view this story on our website, chapelboro.com. The chairman of North Carolina's Democratic Party and four current or former party leaders are resolving their dispute. The state party released a signed settlement agreement on Monday, settling an internal complaint last month filed against Chairman Randy Voller, the mayor of Pittsboro. The complaint accused Voller of exceeding his authority by dismissing the executive director and appointing several donors to a party governing board. The parties went through mediation and all five signed a document agreeing that party rules are unclear on the issues and laying out guidance for moving ahead. The agreement also says Voehler will direct the new executive director to end contracts with two firms that are at the center of another disagreement. Voehler has faced other criticism since getting elected in February. The party's first vice chair resigned last week. Randy Voehler will speak with us this morning at the bottom of the hour, not only about this, but about his impressions of what's happening on Moral Mondays. He was there yesterday. Governor Pat McCrory says he's not sure if he and legislative leaders can agree on a final North Carolina state governmental budget before the new fiscal year starts in about 2 weeks. McCrory told the Associated Press yesterday that his goal is still to have a budget he can sign into law by the 1st of July. But McCrory says he has problems with parts of both the House and Senate versions of the two-year spending plan. Negotiations are expected to begin in earnest after the Senate rejected the House version of the budget Monday night. A conference committee will now work out differences. Governor McCrory laid out several specific concerns he had with the Senate budget 4 weeks ago. He hasn't been as explicit with shortcomings of the House version. WCHL News Time, 7:18. 18 minutes after 7 o'clock, more news coming up. Time now for traffic and weather together on WCHL. And this traffic report is brought to you this morning by Chapel Hill Tire Car Care Center. From major repairs to simple oil changes for imports, domestics, hybrids, whatever you drive, with four locations in Chapel Hill, Carrboro, and Durham. ChapelHillTire.com. Now with the latest morning traffic on WCHL, here is Rand Northam.
Good morning. Thank you very much, Ron. 15501 northbound, seeing a delay this morning between I-40 and Garrett Road. Also, NC-54 westbound between Barbie Chapel Road and 15501, seeing some delays this morning. Nothing serious out there right now. No accidents to report. No additional delays. But if you see anything and you can share that word with us, we'll be sure to pass that along to those listening. 919-967-8363 is the number to call to be a WCHL Road Warrior. You can also tweet us at WCHL, and as always, we ask you to do that safely.
All right, thanks so much.
Thank you.
WCHL's Chapel Hill Carrboro weather brought to you by Cruisers Convenience Marketplace, serving the best-tasting fountain drinks in town. They're made with 100% filtered water, served at 34 degrees with that great chewy ice. Only 79 cents as well. Guaranteed to taste great. Cruisers, good to go. It is 71 degrees, mostly cloudy today. Showers and thunderstorms mainly in the afternoon. A temperature today in the low 80s. Chance of rain 80%. And that will remain all the way through tonight as well. Our low tonight in the upper 60s. Tomorrow, another cloudy day. 50-50 chance of showers and thunderstorms. And the high tomorrow, about 80 degrees.
Our name is WCHL. Our dial position is 97.9. FM. Our website is chapelboro.com, where you can listen from anywhere in the world with instantly live streaming. You can always start your day with Ron Stutz on 97.9 FM, WCHL, Chapel Hill Carrboro's news, talk, and Tar Heel station.
Good morning. It is 7:20, 20 minutes after 7 o'clock at WCHL. After emails surfaced that purported to show a relationship between the UNC Athletic Department and department heads that created fake classes for student-athletes, UNC President Tom Ross says he does not know if this is a new development that requires further investigation until he reads the emails personally.
We'll be looking at that, and I'll be talking with the chairman about that, and we'll determine if there's any further action. But at this point, there really hasn't been any discussion of any next steps.
Ross asked to see the emails between members of the athlete tutoring program and Julius Nangoro, former chair of the African and Afro-American Studies Department at Carolina. The News and Observer reported that Nangoro created classes that students did not have to attend to boost their grades. Ross says he also wants to see the timeline of the investigation.
There was some lapse of time between the request and I wanted to understand why that happened.
Ross repeatedly said after last week's Board of Governors meeting that he has not yet read the emails, nor has he talked with UNC to get information from the university itself. The Board of Aldermen will approve its budget tonight, and they'll take a look at how transit tax money might be put to use in Carrboro. Under next year's budget, the municipal tax rate will stay the same for the fifth year in a row, and town employees will get a 1.9% cost of living pay raise. Aldermen will also consider transit system improvement projects to submit to Triangle Transit for possible funding from the half-cent sales tax that went into effect earlier this year. Improvements could range from bus shelter construction to sidewalk expansion along major roads. Board will meet tonight, 7:30, in Carrboro Town Hall. And the Orange County Commissioners will sign off on a new budget and five-year capital investment plan when the board meets tonight. After weeks of negotiation and public hearings that drew dozens of residents to plead for more school funding, commissioners will finalize a spending plan that maintains the current property tax rate while digging into reserve funds to give more money to schools. The budget also calls for the Chapel Hill Carborough Special District tax rate to increase by 2 cents to provide $2 million to open up the new Northside Elementary School. The plan includes money for new EMS personnel and technology upgrades and sets aside $250,000 for the Social Justice Fund designed to lessen the impact of state cuts to social programs. The board will meet tonight, 7 o'clock, in the Southern Human Services Center on Homestead Road in Chapel Hill. There's much more news coming up at the bottom of the hour, including a conversation with Pittsburgh Mayor Randy Voller, who happens to be the chairman of the State Democratic Party. That is coming up in just a few minutes on WCHL. Around here, a lot of people excited about Carolina baseball today. Time now for WCHL Championship Sports, brought to you this morning by Fitz Lumber and Hardware in Carborough. Well, notwithstanding its loss to North Carolina State on Sunday, UNC baseball team is still out in Omaha this week in pursuit of its first ever College World Series title. Quite a few Triangle area residents made the trip with them, including Tom Jensen, the team's unofficial superfan.
There's actually a really positive vibe around the team, even after what happened yesterday. I think there's kind of a realization that yesterday we faced the best pitcher in the country, and he pitched like the best pitcher in the country that he is. But that this is a team that really has shown an ability to bounce back from adversity all year. And these guys really feel like they can still do this, and we'll do whatever we can to help them.
Most of the time, Jensen's better known as the director of public policy polling, the Raleigh-based firm that's fast developing a reputation as the most accurate pollster in the country. But during baseball season, he's more likely to be on national television as the most visible and audible member of the Tar Heel fan base.
Well, it's funny. I definitely have people like recognize me on the street, recognize me in the grocery store as the super fan. Nobody has ever come up to me in the grocery store and been like, oh man, you're the pollster.
Though he's the face of the Carolina fandom, Jensen's not the only one in Nebraska wearing Carolina blue. He says he figures UNC has the second largest fan base at the College World Series this year, behind only LSU. Even Roy Williams made the trek out to Omaha. Jensen says the basketball coach was in the stands for Sunday's game. And while the Tar Heels have their backs against the wall after Sunday's 8-1 loss to the Wolfpack, Jensen says he'll never count out this year's team after all the adversity they've already overcome. Nevertheless, he says even if the Heels don't come home with a College World Series title, it's been quite a memorable season nonetheless.
It's a wonderful group of people. This is, you know, I've really been around this program hardcore for 8 years now. We've never had a group of kids and parents as special as this year, and regardless of what happens the rest of the week, it's just been one amazing ride.
The Tar Heels face LSU today at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. It's a must-win game for both teams, and Trent Thornton, the freshman, will get the start for Carolina. WCHO will broadcast the game in its entirety today at 3 o'clock. We'll also stream it live on chapelborough.com, so be sure and tune in today. You will hear the Tar Heels out in Omaha, Nebraska, College World Series, Carolina versus LSU. Loser goes home, the winner stays alive in the College World Series and still has a chance at winning the national championship. Carolina Baseball Day, right here on WCHL. 7:25, 25 minutes after 7 o'clock. Good morning, I'm Ron Stutz.
Our Chansky Sports Notebook, exclusively on 97.9 FM WCHL.
Danny Green has found his latest Carolina team. This is Art Chansky with Tuesday Sports Notebook. Let's say that Tim Duncan is Tyler Hansbrough, the man in the middle who attracts most of the attention when the ball goes into the post, and that Tony Parker is a taller version of Ty Lawson, a bullet with the ball and multi ways to penetrate the defense. And Manu Ginobili is, well, there really isn't anyone like the Argentine lefty playmaker and shooter, which is also helping Green immensely. Like Wayne Ellington, and Green himself took advantage of the double-downing on Hansbrough and all the trapping on Lawson, Green is the perfect complement to an unselfish team that frankly would be running away with the NBA title if it weren't for LeBron James. If the Heat comes back to win two in Miami, it will be because James carried the team in spite of the odds. Those odds have fallen into San Antonio's favor because of Green, a supposed role player who has already set an NBA Finals record by making 25 three-pointers in five games while shooting 74% from the arc. Miami can't seem to believe that Green has done what he's doing, and his own teammates can't believe the Heat are still leaving him open on the perimeter. Parker, the short-lived husband of Desperate Housewives star Eva Longoria, is sensing desperation in the Miami camp. What to do with Green? Parker is amazed that the Heat defense is still trapping him with the ball and doubling Duncan at the post, leaving a smooth-moving Green to find the open spot beyond the three-point line and simply awaiting the ball for his quick trigger release.
We all hope it lasts, and Green goes from thrice-cut pro to the NBA Finals MVP. And wasn't it fun watching UNC grad Stuart Scott interviewing Green after Sunday night's Game 5, which is statistically speaking almost always pretends the winner of the series. Green calls it a higher power, or the basketball gods, but no less of a fan of his than Dookie Danny Ferry sired in Green when he drafted the former Tar Heel for Cleveland in the second round in 2009. Ferry says Green wasn't quite good enough to make the Cavaliers then, but often watched him be the second best player on the court in practice behind LeBron. And now Green is the guy who is not only breaking records on the outside, but giving King James fits on defense as well. Let's not try to figure it out right now. Let's all just enjoy. This is Art Chansky. See ya.
Betty Davis famously said, getting old is not for sissies. What she didn't say is that dealing with aging loved ones is no easy task either. HomeWatch Caregivers gives you the support you need for your loved ones. From simple companionship to comprehensive personal care, its trained staff gives you peace of mind. You can relax knowing your family member is well taken care of. HomeWatchCaregivers.com or call 919-960-6038. HomeWatch Caregivers, let our family care for yours.
To get your home ready to sell, you need someone with vision to help with the many tough design decisions. Hi, I'm Tammy Thornton, Realtor with Tony Hall & Associates. I have many years' experience in the film and TV industry where the wrong decisions can be very costly. Presentation or staging has become essential in today's market. My expertise starts with the best preparation for the market, and I'll represent you through the entire selling process. Call today at 919-933-8500. At Tony Hall & Associates, we don't just list houses, we sell them.
This is Lyda Coleman of Coleman, Huntoon & Brown, your local CPAs and advisors. Did you know that there are more than 1,000 nonprofits in Orange County, and they need help with accounting and tax services like any other business? We can help with obtaining tax-exempt status, setting up your accounting systems, preparing tax returns, and being there to hold your hand if the IRS comes knocking.
To find out more, talk to Coleman, Huntoon & Brown, where our people make the difference. Find us online at chbcpas.com.
Today is your last chance at a great offer at ourlocaldeal.com from Bean & Barrel. It's half off, $30 for food, available until midnight for $15. After a long day, come and enjoy the upscale bar and gourmet fare prepared by executive chef at Bean & Barrel. On the menu, find mouth-watering appetizers, delicious salads, and entrees such as steak, shrimp and grits, and vegetable risotto. It's half off from Bean & Barrel. It's available until midnight, so buy it now at ourlocaldeal.com.
This is Carrboro Mayor Mark Chilton. There's only one thing cooler than Carrboro, and it's got to be Ron Stutz.
All right, thank you, Mayor. It's the bottom of the hour at WCHL, and time for your Chapel Hill Carrboro weather. Brought to you this morning by Carrboro Family Medicine, serving Chapel Hill, Carrboro, and surrounding communities for 30 years. If you like the idea of a team whose goal is your good health, join them at Carrboro Family Medicine. You can find them on the web at CarrboroFamilyMedicine.net. It is 71 degrees in Chapel Hill and a cloudy day. It's going to be that way all day, so we may as well go ahead and get used to it, I guess. Mostly cloudy showers and thunderstorms, mainly in the afternoon, but the chance of rain is 80% all day. High today in the low 80s. Tonight, more of the same on the way. Mostly cloudy, showers and thunderstorms in our forecast to the tune of 80%. Our overnight low, about 68 degrees. And then tomorrow, not really much difference. Mostly cloudy with a 50% chance for showers and or thunderstorms. And the high tomorrow, about 80 degrees. Clouds will continue all the way through tomorrow night and the following day as well. On Thursday, it's going to be partly cloudy with a high in the low 80s. The weekend looks like relatively good, not so bad. Partly cloudy skies for your weekend.
Ron Stutz in the morning. Progressive talk all day. This is 97.9 FM, WCHL, Chapel Hill Carrboro's news, talk, and Tar Heel
State
station.
Dave Barrett changes will be detailed today by Defense Secretary Chuck Hagel. Correspondent David Martin says, within the next couple of years, more women could be serving in more positions.
Right now, something like a 250,000 positions are excluded to women because of this combat exclusion, which has been in effect in practice for almost forever. But as a result of the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan, where there were no front lines and women were serving in combat, the system is now catching up with the reality.
There are some tough physical standards to meet. Military consultant Mike Lyons is a retired Army major.
The question is,
Will the Army in particular and the Marine Corps have a standard that women can meet that will allow them to succeed? I think that that's going to be the challenge that both branches of service are going to have.
Retired Marine Corps Colonel Brendan Kearney says many men cannot meet these tough standards.
There are those men who initially meet the requirements but develop knee problems, develop lower back problems.
CBS News Update, I'm Dave Barrett.
This hour of the Morning News with Ron Stutz is brought to you by Bredman's Restaurant, open at 7 a.m. daily and serving breakfast all day. Bredman's on Rosemary Street, a Chapel Hill tradition since 1974.
You're listening to 97.9 FM, WCHL, Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station. Now back to the WCHL Morning News with Ron Stutz.
Good morning, it is 7:32, 28 minutes until 8 o'clock here at WCHL. 72 degrees in Chapel Hill right now. Kind of a muggy morning here. A lot of moisture in the air. Mostly cloudy all day. 8 chances out of 10 we're going to get some rain, maybe in the form of a shower and or a thunderstorm. And the chance of rain mainly in the afternoon. Our high temperature today in the low 80s. Yesterday was another day for Moral Mondays. And a lot of people gathered in Raleigh yesterday to protest. Many were arrested. Many from the United Church of Chapel Hill. And a lot of Chapel Hill, Carborough, Orange County residents were there. In the latest poll of North Carolinians, public policy polling found that a majority of Republicans in the state disapprove of the job the GOP-controlled state legislature is doing. 40% of Republicans said they disapprove, as opposed to 36% who say they actually approve. Overall, 56% of North Carolina voters disapprove of the job the General Assembly is doing. Chum Jensen, director of public policy polling, attributes all this to the extreme legislation being pushed by the North Carolina General Assembly.
I think that Republican voters just think that a lot of the proposals that Republican legislators have been passing in the General Assembly really are just too extreme, too far to the right, even by Republican standards.
Among the extreme legislation Jensen cites is a bill to allow guns on all educational properties, a bill to raise interest rates on consumer loans, and a ban on purchasing cars over the phone or internet, which would make it difficult to buy electric cars in North Carolina. In addition, both the House and Senate's proposed budgets had disapproval rates of 49% and 50% respectively, including a 33% disapproval of the House budget and 35% disapproval of the Senate budget by Republicans. A lot of dissatisfaction right now as far as North Carolina state government is concerned. 84 people were arrested at the 7th Moral Monday protest in Raleigh yesterday, including four members of the United Church of Chapel Hill. A lot of Chapel Hill, Carborough, Orange County, and Chatham County residents there, and people from all over the state, really. Police estimated that close to 1,000 people gathered for the rally outside, targeting policies of the Republican-controlled legislature. WCHL's Rachel Nash was there and has a full report available on our website at chapelboro.com and also during our next newscast on WCHL. But right now we have the chairman of the state Democratic Party on the phone with us. He also happens to be the mayor of Pittsburgh. Randy Voller joins us now. And Randy, first of all, thanks for joining us. And second of all, give us your view of last night's protest in Raleigh.
I think it was another manifestation of the people expressing of a broad dissatisfaction with the policies of a pretty extreme legislature.
Multiple people have said this is going to continue just as long as it's needed. Someone was quoted this morning on our newscast as saying it could continue until the 2014 elections. How long do you see it all continuing?
Well, I think that putting feet on the street and showing the world that you're dissatisfied with these policies is a good thing. The Democratic Party came out with a resolution by the Executive Council on the 2nd of June to support it. I personally have been supporting it since the first march on May Day. And I believe that you'll probably see this going on in Raleigh until you see some movement back towards some more moderate policies.
This protest is quite interesting because we have many elected officials willing to put themselves on the line. For example, Mayor Mark Chilton of Carborough was the very first to get arrested a couple of weeks ago during a Moral Monday protest, and other elected officials have done so. And many are there, not getting arrested, but they're showing their support. If midterm elections were held today, how would you expect the House and Senate to look tomorrow?
Well, I think if the state was fairly redistricted, which is why I favor a nonpartisan, citizen-driven committee to do so, you would probably see a drastic change. Given the way that they are drawn, it's still going to be a challenge, but with the energy being developed from Moral Monday, and I believe this is going to translate into organization around the state into what I would call Thunderous Tuesdays, I think you will see some significant changes in the legislature come next fall.
Now, you get out and talk to people every day, a lot of people within political circles, but I know you're out there talking to the people, just regular folks every day. What is your sense of what the people are most disappointed with or frustrated with?
Well, it's certainly kind of broken down into categories. I think a lot of folks that are native North Carolinians or have moved here over the last 40 years are frustrated with what they see as a breaking of the social contract and a moving away from kind of the foundational values of what made North Carolina a great state and somewhat of an envy of the nation.
Randy, while we have you here, I can't resist. We want to give you a chance to give your side of the story in the North Carolina Democratic Party. We've been hearing about internal problems. How are things going in the Democratic Party right now?
Well, I think that the fact that I met with one of the group that had some points of disagreement, and we sat down for 6 hours and, you know, came together and mediated a settlement, I think is positive movement. I mean, frankly, in my view, a couple of the reasons that we have the problems are the Democratic Party has never been in a position where it's completely out of power, and most of the arguments within that you see kind of coming out into the media and the public sphere have usually been contained within the party. Well, now we don't have a governorship or a lieutenant governor or control of the General Assembly, so we have to move from a defensive posture to an offensive posture, and there's an awful lot of disagreement about policy, about messaging, about how we get there. And therefore, you know, you've got what I would say, too many chiefs and not enough Indians, too many cooks and running around. Everybody has an opinion, but, you know, the real thing that we need to do is focus on winning the battle of ideas, winning elections, and that's why I think Moral Mondays is such a wonderful organizational opportunity for people of the state, because they can come out, talk about these values that are important to all North Carolinians, and put feet on the ground. Let's not forget, Ron, if you go there, you don't have to get arrested. You can go there and support. It's a personal choice to get arrested, and I think in the beginning a lot of people had the idea that if I showed up, I'd be arrested, and that's not so.
Well, it's very well organized, as we heard some folks say on the news this morning, and they felt safe because it was so well organized. There are people there telling you what to do if you choose to get arrested and that sort of thing. And there are so many other people who are there simply to express their support. There's certainly a lot of noise coming out of that huge assembly there yesterday. Getting back to the Democratic Party for just a moment, one of the things you can always say about those on the right is that they are so well organized. It's like everything is orchestrated. On the Democratic Party side, not so much. Do you see this internal struggle with the North Carolina Democratic Party affecting municipal elections this year?
I don't really believe so. The municipal elections are typically, number one, the turnouts are lower, and of course it's my goal as I've been going around the state to say, look, the party cannot be a cicada party. It has to be involved every single year in the values we believe in. And the issues around municipal elections are generally local, although the General Assembly has made this personal for municipalities by taking away a lot of power and certainly exerting control in Asheville, Charlotte, Raleigh, and other places, and essentially taking away some of the power granted to municipalities. We're in a Dillon Rule state, which means that the General Assembly pretty much holds all the cards. But I would like to offer one thing. I think it's a misnomer to say that the right is completely organized. I mean, they have their own disagreements as well. And, for instance, Craven County GOP passed a censure of their speaker, Tom Tillis. It just hasn't been very widely reported. But that's a very large party, and they sent it up to their state party. I mean, and that's coming from, I would say, what people would call the Tea Party or a certain group in the Republican Party. I think what you're seeing is a great sorting along the political continuum, And that's where an awful lot of these disagreements come, whether you're in the Republican Party, the Democratic Party, or you're an unaffiliated voter that leans either way.
Well, Randy, it's always a pleasure to talk to you. For those who don't know, Randy Voller also is the mayor of Pittsburgh, and a lot of good, exciting things happening at Pittsburgh right now.
There really are. I think the town is taking a great step forward. We're about to finish this major water replacement project. And, you know, the way I view government is we should be coming together and investing in our communities. And I'm pretty proud about our town board and our citizens for what they've done in the last 8 years to invest in Pittsburgh and, I think, move it forward.
All right. Well, we'll be talking with you more as we move along in your role as the chair of the State Democratic Party. And thank you very much for joining us this morning.
Thank you, Ron.
That is Randy Voller on WCHL, 742, 18 minutes until 8 o'clock at WCHL. Former Judge Willis Wichard has today's commentary. He's concerned about education in our state. That's coming up next.
Summer is finally here, and it's time for that well-deserved family vacation. The road is calling, and right now at Performance BMW, you can get exceptional offers, such as financing as low as 0.9% for up to an unbelievable 72 months on select certified pre-owned models, while other financing options are as low as 2.9% for up to 72 months, such as the 2010 BMW 328i for $384 per month.
Wow!
At Performance BMW, your options are virtually limitless. Performance BMW is known for the promise and the wow. The promise is your guarantee you'll always receive extraordinary service from expertly trained people, all for a superb value. Visit PerformanceBMWChapelHill.com, where you can also read customer comments about their award-winning service. BL1853, 72-month purchase at 2.9% APR. $2,500 due at signing excludes tax, tag, and 549 dock fee. Based on selling price of $27,861. Financing with approved credit through BMW FS on select models for a specified term. See dealer for details. Take delivery before June 30th, 2013. Certified pre-owned BMWs come with a protection plan for up to 6 years or 100,000 miles from the original purchase date. BMW is the ultimate driving machine. 2013 Center of Excellence and Volume Leader.
When the weather is fine, the garden and patio at Glass Half Full Restaurant, Wine Bar, and Wine Shop in downtown Carrboro is the place to be. Meet your friends for a delicious lunch amid fragrant spring flowers, or enjoy dinner in a bottle of wine or the perfect cocktail on a warm, moonlit Carolina night. Find contemporary American cooking, intriguing wines from around the world, both on the Glass Half Full patio, the place to be in Carrboro any time of day. Glass Half Full, the optimistic restaurant, wine bar, and wine shop.
You know, getting older isn't easy. Chronic pain, balance issues, driving after dark. These are the challenges seniors face every day. At Home Instead Senior Care, we understand these battles and why they're so important to you. We're not babysitters or maids, nurses or taxi drivers. We are caregivers, dedicated to helping you maintain your independence. At Home Instead Senior Care, we know the battles you're facing. Call us at 919-933-3300 and find out why at Home Instead Senior Care, to us, it's personal.
This is Roy Williams, and thanks, Ron Stutz. You've done a great job of waking everybody up in Chapel Hill and Carrboro for 35 years. After you wake them up, you probably put them to sleep again, but congratulations.
Well, thank you, Roy. That is Roy Williams calling in from Omaha, Nebraska, where he's been following Coach Mike Fox and the Tar Heels. And Tar Heels...
Sorry, Ron.
You awake?
Yeah.
You all right?
I'm
all
right, yeah.
Tar Heels still have a chance to win the national championship. It's not going to be easy.
Right.
They are in the loser's bracket after getting off to that bad start against North Carolina State. But they play again today, 3 o'clock, against LSU. And we know this Tar Heel team has overcome a lot of adversity before.
Doesn't get any bigger in this game.
Yeah, that's for sure. And WCHL will have the game for you at 3 o'clock today. Also streaming live on our website, chapelbrew.com. From wherever you are, you can follow the Tar Heels and find out how they're doing.
And there's an app for that.
Yeah, yes, there is. What else is happening at chapelroo.com today?
Well, I do want to make a mention as well for that app. If you haven't heard yet and you're still trying to get the app and you're trying to update the old app, well, that one is gone. It doesn't exist anymore. So if you want the app, delete that old app, then go to the App Store and download the new Chapelboro app, and you can listen to us live. So check that out. That's certainly important, and it looks great. We're still working on just some small things here and there. You might see a few changes here and there on the new website, but everything up and running, and we are loving Chapelboro 2.0. Also on our website right now, Megan Floyd has a show review up from The Cave of Daniel Romano, who played over the weekend and has a cool Latino fusion sound.
Mm-hmm.
And Jeff Danner's piece is getting a lot of discussion around social media. His part 3 in a series on hurricanes, and their recent frequency or non-frequency in relation to the global warming debate. So you want to check that out. Jeff Danner was going to be on today with Aaron Keck to talk about that in the 3 o'clock hour. But, of course, UNC baseball today will preempt that, so not able to talk to Jeff today. But we'll certainly have Jeff Danner on the airwaves with us here to talk about Part 3 on hurricanes in his Common Science blog that he writes for us.
And, of course, he's on a regular basis here on WCHL. And usually the smartest guy in the room. I don't know if we can say that about him with Aaron Keck, because Aaron Keck's up there, too.
You know what? They're battling for that one, that's for sure.
I'm telling you, Aaron's a smart guy.
Yeah. Well, it's hard to, not hard to listen, but sometimes it is hard to be in the same room with them and compete. Oh, no, you know, you just kind of sit back and try to take in as much as you can. They're smart guys, and they do deliver it in a way that all of us laymen can understand it, that's for sure.
I'd love to know what their collective IQ is.
Ooh, yeah.
To tell you the truth, it would be through the roof.
We'll see if they can take an IQ test together and see what they come up with. How about that?
Much more so than us on the morning show. Well, I just speak for myself. I don't know about you, but, you know.
I'll ride that cart with you.
Thanks a lot.
Well, that and much more available on our website, chapelboro.com. Of course, vote for the shortlist as well. You can find all that and more on our website, chapelboro.com, with instantly live streaming on an app for that.
All right. Hey, thanks very much.
Thank you.
7:48, 12 minutes until 8 o'clock, at WCHL.
And now, WCHL presents The Commentators.
This is Willis Wichard. 15 years ago, the executive director of the North Carolina Center for the Advancement of Teaching invited me to membership on the center's foundation board. My parents were public school teachers. I am a product of public education. I now have grandchildren in the public schools. Dr. Mary Jo Allen could not have known what a soft touch I would be for her request. She had made it to a man who could choke up just driving past a schoolhouse. I spent 11 years on the center's foundation board and have now been on its board of trustees for 4 years. I have established and helped to fund scholarships there to honor my mother and the late Simon Terrell of Chapel Hill, who was my teacher and basketball coach at Durham High. I have attended week-long seminars with teachers and been a presenter in briefer programs. I have often thought that with the benefit of NCAT, my mother might have taught longer and my father might have lived longer. Teachers are refreshed, renewed, reinvigorated by the NCAT experience. Retention rate in the profession is significantly higher for teachers with that experience than for those without it. Most important, by enriching teachers, we are enriching their students. On the last full day of the programs I have attended, the participating teachers were asked how they would integrate their NCAT learning into their classrooms. Every one of them knew exactly how they would do it. So why have I become a first-time commentator on WCHL to tell you this? Because we are at serious risk of losing this vital institution. The North Carolina House budget funds it for the coming biennium, but the Senate budget does not. Quality professional development for teachers is not optional. In today's complex world, teaching is a rapidly changing profession, and the only way to prepare North Carolina's students for their future is through relevant and sustained professional learning for their teachers. For the sake of our children, who are our future, let's keep the North Carolina Center for the Advancement of Teaching to advance teaching as an art and a profession. Let our state legislators know that in the conference committee, the House position, which retains high-quality professional development for our children's teachers, must prevail. This is Willis Wichard.
Is there a local issue you care about? You're invited and encouraged to contribute your own views on this or any other issue. The Commentators, local people, local issues, on 97.9 FM, WCHL. What You're Saying on the Street, presented by ISIS IT. What You're Saying on the Street.
I'm Michael Pavich. In Raleigh, there's all kinds of things to do. We hit the streets to find out why you visit the City of Oaks.
My name's Peter Aitken. I have lived in Chapel Hill for over 20 years. We go to Raleigh or Durham for entertainment probably about once a month, maybe twice.
Bob Morato. I work in Chapel Hill. We go to Raleigh very seldom.
My name's Ben Bryant. I work in Chapel Hill, but I live in Raleigh. We go out in Raleigh probably once a week. Lisa Parks, Chapel Hill. In Raleigh, I actually work in Raleigh, so NC State basketball games.
My name is Ann, and I live in Raleigh. Raleigh Brewing Company is a new brewery that opened up in March, and they are absolutely fantastic. They have a huge tap room and tasting room. The Red Hat Amphitheater is a great place to see concerts.
How often do you visit Raleigh?
My name is Joe Sanders. I live in Carrboro, and I never go to Raleigh for entertainment.
Jennifer Faber. I live in Chapel Hill once a week, twice a week. I have a sister who lives in Raleigh, and I go to and I run errands.
Dylan Winters. I'm staying with my mom right now over by Chapel Hill High School. Once or twice every couple months, probably, just for like shows or to see family and stuff.
James Kilpatrick in Carrboro, about twice, three times a month.
My name is Chelsea Dyring, and I'm from Hillsboro. I don't go to Raleigh very often, but that's just because I've got lots of kids.
That's what you're saying on the street. A 97.9 FM WCHL, Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station. What You're Saying on the Street, presented by ISIS IT. Managed IT solutions to fit your needs. Find out how they can save you money at IGotFixed.com.
Time for traffic and weather together on WCHL Traffic, brought to you this morning by the Carolina Inn in Chapel Hill. Join the Carolina Crossroads Restaurant and Bar each and every day for their exceptional daily features, menu specials, and hours available at CarolinaInn.com. Now with traffic, here's Rand.
Thank you very much, Ron. 15501 southbound, seeing delays from I-40 down to Estes Drive. Be on the lookout there. Also, NC-54 eastbound and westbound between 15501 and I-40. Also, just popping up delays of 15501 northbound and southbound between NC-86 and NC-54. Otherwise, things moving smoothly this morning. If you see anything as you travel throughout the rest of the day, be sure to give us a call and be a WCHL Road Warrior. 919-967-8363 is the number to call. You can also tweet us at WCHL. As always, we ask you to do that safely.
All right, thanks so much.
Thank you.
WCHL's Chapel Hill Cover Weather, presented by Southern Season. Visit Southern Season today for 15 to 75% off store-wide during their great summer sale, going on now through the 4th of July, when they will end the sale with their first-ever red, white, and blue party at University Mall in Chapel Hill or online at southernseason.com. It's 71 degrees, mostly cloudy today, showers and thunderstorms mainly in the afternoon, but an 80% chance of rain today and tonight. High today about 83 degrees. 753 WCHL. Good morning. I'm Ron Sutz, and Wayne Pond is here with the your word of the day on WCHL.
Well, the word is two words. Good morning, Big Ron.
Well, good morning to you.
That's big. That's four words, actually. Hey, it was good to hear my friend Bill Wichert on WCHL. I haven't seen Bill in, oh, Lord, I don't know how long, but he's still doing the work of the Lord, isn't he?
Yeah, he's a great guy. I haven't seen him in a long time either.
All right, well, let's go in the opposite direction. Bill Wichert is bright and sunny. Here's a word that is anything but. The word of the day, Ron, is tenebrous. Tenebrous. T as in Tom. T-E-N-E-B-R-O-U-S. Tenebrous. T-E-N-E-B-R-O-U-S. This will take you back to your many weeks and months of devoted study to the poetry of William Ernest Henley. You remember when you wrote that long dissertation on In Tenebris?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Okay, well, we'll put that one aside. Give me a definition here, Ron. What is the definition of the word tenebrous?
I got no clue. I'm sorry.
You got no clue. All right.
I don't.
It means dark or murky, hard to understand, obscure, causing gloom. Ron Sutz, once every 10,000 years.
Yeah. All right. Well, I'll go with that.
All right. Well, you're as always. You're just so engaged, you can't wait for the next syllable. So I'm going to let you go.
All right, boy. Hey, thanks a lot, and have a great
bye.
Day. Wayne Pond's word of the day on WCHL, brought to you by Franklin Street Realty. Sometime next hour, you'll have an opportunity to call in and tell me the word of the day. Spell it, define it. You can do all that. We'll give you a $10 gift card to Cruisers. 97.9 FM WCHL. This is Ron Stutz, and time to switch in high gear here. Kick it into high gear, if you will.
That's right.
And Lauren Stafford has just walked into the room.
Good morning.
Yeah, good morning to you, too.
Thank you.
It's a beautiful morning. I think I'll go outside for a while and just smile.
We might have to do that after this joke.
I'm sorry. Yeah, I might. I might have to duck
Or just run out of here.
Just run screaming into the sunlight.
Well, what you got today? I'm almost scared to ask.
Don't be scared. Never be scared. I have a joke. It's a little bit long, but it's a good one.
All right.
So pay attention.
Good.
And seeing as me and my husband just moved into a new place of our own,
uh-huh.
it's a little appropriate. Not the same situation as us. So don't look into that too much if you want to hear the joke. All right.
All right.
So a newlywed couple moves into their new house.
Mm-hmm.
One day, the husband comes home from work, and his wife says, "Honey, you know, in the upstairs bathroom, one of the pipes is leaking. Could you please fix it?" The husband says, "What do I look like, Mr. Plumber?" A few days go by, and he comes home from work, and his wife says, "Honey, the car won't start. I think it needs new battery. Do you mind changing it for me?"
Uh-huh.
He says, "What do I look like, Mr. Goodwrench?" Another few days go by, and it's raining pretty hard. Mm. We know all about that.
Right, we sure do.
The wife finds a leak in the roof. She says, "Honey, there's a leak in the roof. Can you please fix it?" He says, "What do I look like, Bob Vila?" The next day, the husband comes home, and the roof is fixed. So is the plumbing, and so is the car.
Mm-hmm.
He asks his wife, "What happened?" She said, "Oh, I had a handyman come in and fix them," she says.
Right.
"Great," he says. "How much is that going to cost me?"
Mm-hmm.
His wife says, "Nothing. He said he'd do it for free if I either baked him a cake or slept with him." The husband said, "Well, what kind of cake did you make him?" She says, "What do I look like, Betty Crocker?"
Oh, boy. Lauren, get out of here with that. All right.
This is Gerald Ramoyne, General Manager of Performance Auto Mall in Chapel Hill. We're proud of the performance promise, and we're proud of our community, too. That's why Performance Auto Mall highlights a great community service demonstrated by today's Village Pride Award honoree.
We have two WCHL hometown heroes, Laura Morrison of the Chapel Hill Carborough Chamber of Commerce, and Vimalit Rajendran, the owner of Vimalit's Curry Blossom Cafe. Here's Laura to tell you all about Martha's Day.
Martha was my mom, and she was a victim of domestic violence 17 years ago. Her birthday is in July, and Compass Center also celebrates its first birthday in July, so I thought it was a good time to do a community-wide event. I do something for her birthday every year, but this is the first year I've done something public and charitable, and I mentioned it to Vimala. She was so gracious, and she's like, "Let's do an event." So it all came together really quickly, and I'm really excited about where it's headed.
Sometimes that's just the way it works here in the Chapel Hill Carborough community. Laura wanted to do a special event to honor her mom. She wanted to help a local charitable organization, and she turned to Vimalit Rajendran, who's been well known for a long time for getting involved in the community.
Yes, the reason I specifically reached out to her is because I knew she was a victim of domestic violence,
mm-hmm.
and I thought she'd be willing to connect me with people that would be willing to donate, and I know she's very giving, so it was really exciting, which was really encouraging for me and got me really amped about the event and celebrating my mom in a way that I haven't before.
Martha's Day happens on Monday, July 8th.
It's pretty simple. People will come to dinner, would order a meal, pay for their meal. We'll have some folks there encouraging donations. Certain levels of donations will get you certain things from the menu. Donation of more than 250 in person gets you the Martha plate, which will be a special meal and a glass of wine. We're thinking about working something out that my mom would have liked to eat, but I'm not sure how that's going to work. And then we're having live music. The Mahalo Jazz 3 is going to be performing, and I'm sure someone from Compass Center will speak. I will likely speak, but it's just really relaxed. And the other piece of it is a raffle sponsored by DSI Comedy for an iPad mini.
And this special event, Martha's Day, is to raise money for Compass Center. Once again, here's Laura to tell you about this great local organization.
Compass Center is the organization that now exists after the merger of